Good evening, my friends. Good evening and welcome. You are listening to Wednesday night's edition of Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Very excited to have you with us here tonight. We have a fun show, lots of entertaining things to discuss. Our guest this evening will be a guy, maybe you've heard of him, maybe you have not. He's a fellow broadcaster, researcher, and an expert in a variety of different things. At least that's what I would call him. His name's Joe McNeil. He'll be joining us later on the program. He's been a great friend since I first heard of him, and I heard of him through, I guess you could call it micro-broadcasting. Now, if you don't know anything about this, don't fret. A lot of people don't. But it is an opportunity for you guys to do something, and that was kind of the conversation that we had last evening was about, or earlier this morning if you prefer, about doing something. And I don't know, it depends on you. It depends on what you're called to do. It depends on what you yourself feel that you can, should, would, could, whatever, accomplish with the time that's been allotted to you. And I think this is an option for some people. It's certainly been great for getting the truth out there. And we'll discuss all that with Joe and probably a wide variety of things as well. Anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'd like to welcome all of you joining us on shortwave at frequency 3.215. I'd like to welcome all of you listening online at our new website, www.republicbroadcasting.org. And then, of course, perhaps you're listening on our website, which is www.franklyspeakingradio.com. And keep in mind, I know there probably is a little bit of confusion based on my comments last evening about this. Here's how that website works. It's not mine. I don't own that website. I don't update the website. I send the information to the webmaster. His name is James. And he posts it there because he felt that that's something he was supposed to do. He felt called to do that, to create a website and allow people who listen to the show to be able to access guests' websites and have information available on them, as well as, of course, news stories and articles and his blog and just fantastic stuff like that. So it is his website, and he graciously posts things about the show. So we certainly appreciate that, but it is his. If you need to contact me via email, odds are you'll be contacting me through him. So make sure you send a kind word or two his way. It certainly greases the wheel and makes your email get there faster, I guess you could say. Yes. So today, it was a bright, sunshiny day here in northwest Arkansas. It was a nice day. Probably got up to about 45, and I remember thinking, wow, you know, it's a fairly decent day. This is nice. Then I look up in the sky, and there they are, chemtrails everywhere. Giant X's across the sky. It's amazing to me that these things are not noticed by people at all anymore. But nevertheless, most people just dismiss that as, it's always been around, so we just ignore that sort of thing. Yeah, it's sort of a metaphor, I suppose, for everything else about things that stare people in the face. Unless they're told, hey, take a look at that, they probably never look. And unless it's explained to them what that is, they probably would never understand. Everything you hear on the show is able to be researched by you, and I would encourage you to do so. I think it's a vital component to understanding things. So, anyway, we're due for maybe a little bit of freezing rain this evening as it gets colder and colder. So, hopefully, we'll have no technical problems tomorrow evening, but that remains to be seen. Cross your fingers, cross your toes, knock on some wood, say a prayer, do the hokey pokey, whatever it is, I guess, that gets you through. And yeah, we'll just I'll pray. I don't know what you do, but I'll be praying for that to work out just fine. Okay, so our phone number this evening and always, and really the phone number across the whole network, which is a great and convenient thing, 800-313-9443, toll free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. We come back from this first break, we're going to dive into some news. So please stay with us. More Frankly Speaking Radio in 3 minutes.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all-natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered. And 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, my friends. It's Wednesday evening, and you are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. Let's talk some news, shall we? This one came out February 6th from the Jerusalem Post. Egypt, it says, asked the International Police Organization to arrest three Israelis it accuses of being part of a spy ring, a judicial official said Monday. Egypt's state security prosecutor on Saturday charged a 26-year-old Egyptian and three Israelis with spying for Israel and harming national interests. Authorities arrested Mohammed Al-Attar, a former student at Al-Azhar University, on January 1st after returning to Cairo from abroad. The three Israelis remain at large, and Egypt's prosecutor general has instructed the Interior Ministry to request that Interpol arrest them, said the judicial official. So very, very interesting here, because, again, Egypt has arrested one of their own citizens, and they're also looking for three Israelis that they said are spying on behalf of Israel, all of them. Now, that's intriguing to me on a number of levels, because you may have seen that with Iran's sort of defiance of the United Nations Security Council with the resolutions banning, you know, various things as far as uranium enrichment and whatnot, a whole slew of Middle Eastern countries have come out and said that they are going to pursue nuclear technology. Now, they've all said they're going to do it for peaceful purposes, simply for energy purposes. But I think I don't think they're simply going, hey, if Iran can get away with it, we can too. Yeah, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We're pursuing peaceful purposes here. I don't think that's the case. I think it's more of a case of, crap, we need to have one too. You know, that sort of thing. And, of course, the United States has been extremely accommodating with all of these nations who are friendly to us and just opposing Iran. Iran is a signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, and the NPT states, in fact, that Iran is allowed to do these things. They are allowed to pursue this research for peaceful purposes, for energy purposes, and we, as an additional signatory, and other nations who have signed on, are required to help them. But anyway, Egypt is one of the countries that is going to be pursuing this, so it wouldn't surprise me if that spying perhaps had something to do with that, but I don't know. Which leads me to this next story. From the DailyTimes.com, February 5th, it says a prize-winning Iranian nuclear scientist has probably been assassinated by Israeli intelligence agency, the Mossad, reports the Sunday Times, citing an intelligence source. Radio Farda, which is funded by the U.S. State Department to broadcast to Iran, reported that nuclear physicist Ardashir Hassanpour, age 44, had died in mysterious circumstances. Hassanpour worked at a plant in Isfahan, where uranium hexafluoride gas is produced. The gas is needed to enrich uranium at another plant in Natanz, which has become the focus of concerns that Iran may be developing nuclear weapons. According to Radio Farda, Iranian reports of Hassanpour's death emerged on January 21st after a delay of 6 days, giving the cause as quote-unquote gas poisoning. The Iranian reports did not say how or where Hassanpour was poisoned, but his death was said to have been announced at a conference on nuclear safety. Reva Bala of Stratfor, the U.S. intelligence company, claimed on Friday that Hassanpour had been targeted by the Mossad and that there was quote-unquote very strong intelligence to suggest he had been assassinated by the Israelis. So that's interesting, too, because, again, Mossad, their little motto is by deception, or you will wage war or something. We will wage war by way of deception, something like that. But anyway, you can see that this could be, you know, certainly infiltration regarding spies and whatnot. So anyway, again, that was put out by U.S. radio. A U.S.-funded radio, I should say, but it was picked up by the British press and ran. That story was ran. Now, of course, Iran had to respond to this. Now, this one came out on the 4th from the Fars News Agency. And again, you know, technically, this response, per se, technically was after, or I should say before, the British story. So I don't know if it was true or it was false, but the Iranian story is a little bit interesting. So here's what it says. None of the Iranian nuclear scientists have been assassinated by Mossad because the Israeli intelligence agency is basically incapable of running operations inside Iran, said an informed source in Tehran on Sunday, following a report released by the weekly Sunday Times about assassination of an Iranian nuclear scientist called Ardashir Hassanpour. By Israel's Mossad, an informed source told FNA, that's Fars News Agency, that Hassanpour, a Shiraz University professor, was in no way connected to Iran's uranium conversion facility in Isfahan, and that he had been suffocated by fumes from a faulty gas fire in his sleep. The source also pointed out that Mossad is even incapable of solving the international crisis of the Zionist regime, saying, quote, if Mossad was capable of doing great things, they should have solved the domestic crisis of Israel. He continued saying this, quote, "The United States and Israel have repeatedly gone under deep criticism by Western politicians and experts for their weakness in collecting correct information about Iran's capabilities." The informed source also stressed, quote, "Iran's nuclear scientists are continuing their efforts to master civilian nuclear technology for peaceful purposes." So again, I don't know. You take it for whatever it is. The spelling of the two names is quite different. I don't know if that is indicative more of a translation issue than anything else, but we'll have to wait and see. I'm assuming, you know, again, it's just an assumption, but I assume they're talking about the same person. But Iran claims it's not possible, that it didn't happen. It wasn't an assassination, and it certainly wasn't Mossad who had done this. Now, whether or not that's true, it is interesting, and it is worth considering. Because obviously, the war with Iran it's scheduled, okay? The thing's going to happen, but they have to find a way to make it happen. And various things are happening throughout the works. But it is important to, again, as we've done here with this story, you've got the Iranian side of things, and you've got the mainstream media side of things, and you must, of course, read both and compare them. So I would think that in the wonderful world of intelligence agencies and assassinations, they can pretty much make anything look like an accident. And obviously, if it was true, Iran would not admit that, because then, first of all, they would be losing face among their population. And secondly, they would basically be saying that it was a declaration of war, which Iran, you'd think, is technically smart enough not to say, hey, you've just done this to us, now we're going to attack you, Israel, because obviously the attack against them, meaning Iran, would not just be one country, it would be a bunch. And of course, there probably would be a retaliatory response from Iran's allies and different people who have they've signed defense agreements with. But nevertheless, I don't think Iran's going to start it. They may be blamed for having started it, but I don't think they would do that. So this may be a case of counting coup. I'm assuming you know the reference, but whereby Iran would, or I should say Israel or whomever, whichever intelligence agencies might be conducting this, could simply be, you know, going in there and doing things and then running away and saying, what are you going to do now? You going to attack us? Hard to say. So take it for what it's worth, folks. Take it for what it is, and what it is really is just contradictory information. But it does bear some attention. This one is out of Russia from the Tartas news agency. Came out on the 4th. It says, Iran is not going to comply with UN Security Council resolutions. Vice President and head of the Iranian Atomic Energy Organization, Gholam Reza Aghazadeh, said on Sunday. He said, quote, UN Security Council Resolution 1737 caused new legal difficulties. We said we would not comply with it even before the resolution was adopted, end quote. The resolution was passed on December 23, 2006 to force Iran to suspend the uranium enrichment research and prevent any related exports and imports. In turn, the Iranian parliament bound the government to review relations with the International Atomic Energy Agency, or the IAEA. So basically, it was passed on December 23rd, 2006. It's 60 days they have to comply, so that's coming up pretty quick here towards the end of the month. Also, that must bear some note. Because right off the bat, the United Nations has no credibility, I think, among most people. And even Iran just said, it's a piece of paper that you've passed here. It doesn't mean anything to us. But Iran did say they would not comply with demands that would probably shame them to a certain degree. What they've done is they've been able to sort of rah 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 cheer these nuclear accomplishments up to a point where it becomes an issue of national pride, whereby they cannot back down, because then of course the people themselves will feel that they've lost a step. So in that regard, because they've succeeded in this, making this a nationalistic issue, they're going to go for it. Now, the one condition, of course, that the U.S. and partners there at the United Nations Security Council would like is the abandoning of uranium enrichment on their soil. But they won't do it. They can't do it. They said, we won't do that. So when we keep putting those conditions on there, we're setting it up to fail. So this thing is on track to happen. And there's more, of course, news, more information, more of my opinions, and of course sourcing all the things so you can read it for yourself. All of that when we come back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio. Please stay with us.
Hey America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Do you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Take it all lying down. 'Cause once I get started, I go to town. 'Cause I'm not like everybody else. 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 And I don't.
Welcome back. Glad you're here. You're listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. We are doing some news here, my friends. And obviously, we're talking about one of the biggest issues, and it's not the only issue by any means, but it's certainly one of the biggest international issues, because, again, keep in mind a few things. Prior to Iraq, or I should say this, prior to Afghanistan, okay, we had September 11th. People, remember what that was like. We went into Afghanistan like a hot knife through butter. It was nothing. They said, we want to go to war. Congress said, we authorize you to do anything that you need to do to get those responsible. That was a key element right there, because in essence, that authorized the quote-unquote war on terror. As long as this organization, Al-Qaeda, has sympathizers, has actual devoted people that are members of this organization, or has somebody that has an organization that the U.S. State Department can call Al-Qaeda related, this war will go on forever. They have set this up to never, never end. However, the voice and the will of the people are vital to this, to keep this war machine going. Have to. Like Ralph Epperson said on the show the other night, the bumper sticker, what if they had a war and nobody showed up? We have to comply to a certain extent. And what I'm saying to you is this. Afghanistan was a result of September 11th, so everybody was all for it. It was nothing. There was no media blitz per se. There's rarely coverage of it now, just the word here or there, something like that. Not a whole lot going on. People said, yep, oh, we got to go get them. Let's go do it. It was fine. And then, you know, 2003, you've got Iraq. Well, they actually had to build a case for Iraq because people were like, what? Hold on a second here. Is this the whole thing about how, you know, Saddam tried to kill your daddy, Mr. President? Is this just a thing where it's something you want to do? And then, of course, Project for New American Century came out in the PNAC to-do list as a variety of different countries, and Iraq was on there. So a lot of people started asking hard questions. So they felt they had to compel us. They had to prove it to us. Well, you know, the sense of pain from September 11th is somewhat worn off amidst the public. They're not going to just swallow everything we feed them now. They're going to start asking questions. So, you know, maybe we should present a case. So Colin Powell gets up there before the United Nations Security Council, and he makes the case. He did a good job, I thought. I mean, all things considered, it was pretty convincing. But anyway, of course, then we go in and we discover that he has no weapons of mass destruction. We discover that, you know, it was virtually nothing, right? That there was no plan. And we all know the problems and perils that is and has been Iraq. But now they want, of course, to go into another country. Do you think people are going to buy, you know, Condoleezza Rice in front of the Security Council giving a prepared speech with evidence that she says that they have this and they have that and they have this and they have that? There's no way. People are not going to buy that. So the danger here and the thing that must be factored, again, September 11th, we have been lied to. Now, me personally, this is just my personal opinion, I don't think that we have to prove what actually happened. What we have to prove, and can do so very, very convincingly and very easily, is to prove that the official story is a lie. And that's it. And I think it's been done. It's been done by great people who've been doing a lot of great research, including all of you out there. But where do we go from there? Do we keep trying to cram the same evidence down people's throats? No, we use the evidence to warn them about the potential for another event in the future, another event that could lead us into another war, okay? Because we all know, you know, Iraq, they were kind of a loner in the region, you know, with their Ba'athist sort of philosophy and whatnot. I mean, they weren't necessarily like some of these fanatical Muslim groups. And Saddam had a pretty tight rein over his country, didn't have a lot of friends, you know, didn't kind of make a whole lot of waves. Iran's a different story, okay, because they've been able to capitalize on all the drama that is Iraq. And they've been able to sign, of course, lots of defense agreements, cooperative agreements with various countries, certainly a lot of economic treaties with various countries. Now, of course, the U.S. basically said, hey, look, if you back us on Iran, then you'll get opportunity to first pick at the booty, meaning, of course, oil and different things like that. You know, and some countries jumped on board, and the other countries that didn't necessarily back it, their oil contracts with Iraq were canceled. Well, what happens then? They automatically go to Iran. And they know that if the U.S. occupies Iran, then they're going to be cut off again. So they can't let that happen, which means Iran is saying, hey, look, we'll cover our bases. We'll get in bed with everybody economically, militarily, and so on and so forth. And then, of course, they're a little more well-protected. So it's going to take a heck of a lot to kick this thing off. And when this thing does get kicked off, we're talking about a world war, not a regional conflict anymore. There's lots of money at stake and lots of money in the pot, and everybody wants to win it. So we must understand that these events, these staged events that have always led us into major wars, we might have another one. It's vital that we understand that and keep our eyes open for them trying to pull the same thing again. Okay? Stay with us. We'll be back, and I will get to more news when we return in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio. Please stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, my friends. You're listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. This hour is being brought to you by the Howard Creek Resort, featuring 9 fully equipped individual housekeeping cabins and easy access to a multitude of recreational activities as only Arkansas can offer you. Howard Creek Resort is a perfect family vacation spot any time of the year. You can visit them on the web at www.howardcreek.com or call them toll-free at 877-253-7690. And we appreciate them. We appreciate all of you. Let's get back to the news here, my friends. We've got this story, and this is very intriguing. Now, keep in mind the time frame that I laid out. The end of February is when this UN Security Council resolution timeline sort of expires, their window of opportunity, if you will. This is from YNetNews.com, and it came out on the 4th. It says, giant achievements by Iran will be unveiled by its president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, in the coming days, the Iranian Fars News Agency reported on Saturday. The Iranian news agency said an upcoming dramatic announcement on Iran's nuclear rights would be made on February 11th. Well, that's right around the corner. The report was accompanied by a series of announcements heralding alleged Iranian technological medical breakthroughs, including a cure for AIDS. Now, that's interesting. It's very, very interesting on a number of levels, because, first of all, there's already cures for AIDS. But, you know, for a government to announce this sort of thing, how bad does that screw over all of the money that's been devoted to AIDS medication that Bill Clinton has jumped on board with, and all the other pharmaceutical companies, of course, that say, well, we guess we can allow these AIDS medications to be purchased at a discount, you know, since you're purchasing so many. And all the money that's been raised by all these activists and all these other countries have pitched in to be able to send AIDS medication, which doesn't work. Of course, they're talking about a cure in Iran. We're talking about treatment and whatnot. So they want to send all this over to Africa because, you know, they have huge AIDS problems over there. So in essence, this could be something that causes a little bit of an interruption in the money flow for the pharmaceutical companies. And it's also going to make Iran a lot more fans, okay, in the celebrity community. All the people who are out there, you know, as activists against AIDS and trying to raise AIDS awareness, if somebody comes out and says a cure from another country, it's going to be explored. So expect, first of all, that AIDS cure is probably something that maybe is either banned in this country, or they're ready with the hit pieces in the U.S. media to put those out and say, this is not a cure, this is bizarre, this is crazy, it doesn't work. Okay, they want to poo-poo that right off the bat, because the pharmaceutical company is never going to be happy with something like this. So this, to me, is a very interesting angle to work. But again, there's already cures out there, so, you know, yawn, I say. The Fars News Agency said that Ahmadinejad's, quote, administration is going to publicize the country's remarkable progress and achievements within the coming days. The Iranian president also reiterated that February 11th is the day when the Iranian nation's inalienable right to access and use nuclear technology will be established. The Iranian nation will celebrate stabilization and establishment of its nuclear rights during the 10-day dawn, Ahmadinejad was quoted as saying. Now, the 10-day dawn in early February marks the date of the Islamic Revolution in Iran in 1979. So that's the day when Iran's inalienable rights to access and use nuclear technology will be firmly established. That's interesting because, again, is it just a date? What exactly are they going to say? I don't know. It's hard to say. But again, a nuclear celebration of sorts that could really bring a whole different type of scenario to mind, as far as you know, some people might say, oh, they're going to attack on that day. So I don't know. We just don't know how it's going to go down. But we do need to pay attention to that date. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the 11th is Sunday. So interesting that it would come out on a Sunday. And of course, you know, most people won't be paying attention to that sort of thing here in America on a Sunday. We're all just sort of taking it easy and dreading Monday. Then Monday morning rolls around and there's talk about all this stuff and the announcements, if there's talk at all. This is not a U.S. news story, okay? So if they do address it at all, which they probably will be required to, there will be hit pieces on this as far as saying this AIDS cure is nonsense, and it might also, of course, dramatically sort of fear-monger how effective Iran is as far as their nuclear program, okay? Ahmadinejad said, quote, when a nation decides to stand on its own feet to climb up the peaks, God helps it and the nation will embrace victory, end quote. The Iranian government boasts of, quote, great achievements, including an announcement on Saturday that Iranian scientists have introduced an AIDS cure. According to Fars, quote, after 7 long years of arduous work, Iranian scientists here on Saturday introduced an herbal medicine which cures acquired immune deficiency syndrome. The drug named IMOD is completely safe and effective with no proven side effects, end quote, said Iran's Minister of Health during a ceremony. Ahmadinejad, during his speech, said, quote, the world should know today that the capable nation of Iran, relying on its own youths and scientists, has now conquered the peaks of knowledge and science, end quote. We shall see, my Iranian friend. We shall see. All right. A little bit of fear-mongering here in this story. Now, this is from YNetNews.com also. This came out on January 5th, okay? So it goes back a little ways, but I thought it was important to highlight some inconsistencies here, okay? It says, headline, quote, Iranian official, if threatened, we will use nuclear weapons. Whoa, it's a big story. Did you hear this story? Probably not. Iran says they're going to use nuclear weapons if they're threatened. That's what the headline says. Iranian official, if threatened, we will use nuclear weapons. Well, let's look at the story. The story paints a different picture. It says Iran's chief nuclear envoy, Ali Larijani, said on Friday that Iran is committed to the peaceful use of nuclear technology, but warned the situation could change if his country is threatened. Said Larijani at a news conference 2 days after talks in Beijing, he said, quote, "We oppose obtaining nuclear weapons, and we will peacefully use nuclear technology under the framework of the Non-Proliferation Treaty, but if we are threatened, the situation may change." End quote. Headline, "If threatened, we will use nuclear weapons." Actual words, "We oppose obtaining nuclear weapons, but if we are threatened, the situation may change." Well, he's not saying we're going to use them. He's saying that we oppose obtaining them and that that may change. We may not oppose obtaining them if the situation changes. That's what he's saying. But, of course, if you're just a headline reader, this says Iran's about to attack. Us, Israel, somebody, they're about to attack. So got to be scared. That's what they want. Vice President Golamareza Agazeda, who is also the head of the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran, said Iran has kept the uranium hexafluoride gas, or UF6, in underground tunnels at a nuclear facility in Isfahan to protect it from any possible attack. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said on Friday that international sanctions won't stop Iran from enriching uranium, vowing not to give in to coercion, says state-run television. So again, making it a pride issue, they can't back down, which means they won't back down, which means this thing's going to happen. And I should probably interject here, about a year ago, we ran with a series of news stories that when I read them, I think in sequence, and they were scattered, they didn't all come out at the same time, they weren't all from the same news source. When read in sequence, it surely does indicate, in my opinion, that Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, is one of these key players. He's one of the boys. And his task has been to rise to power and basically facilitate this war, make it happen, talk tough, say inflammatory things. And then Ringo Starr lookalike will get his facelift and get deposited on an island with Ken Lay and his big fat bank account. Well, maybe not, but you see what I'm saying. I mean, I really think that he's in on it. And you could look at anybody else. You look at Osama bin Laden. He was an agent. You look at Saddam Hussein. He was certainly a friend of the United States government for a long time. It just goes on and on and on. Well, when the Iranian elections were happening, to my knowledge, which was like, 2005, 2004, somewhere around there, Ahmadinejad, you know, he wasn't necessarily like the go-to guy per se. But then Bush came out and said, you better not vote for this guy. And what is Iran going to do? The same thing that the U.S. did, presumably, when Osama bin Laden released a videotape prior to the 2004 election. And he said, hey, if you individual states vote for Bush, you will become our enemy. But the states that do not vote for Bush will consider that a peace treaty. And we won't come after you. And, of course, every red-blooded American said, hey, we ain't going to tell us who to vote for. Sorry, John Kerry, I was going to vote for you, but now I'm mad. I'm voting for George. That's how it went down. So the same way Osama interfered and influenced the minds of people in the 2004 U.S. election, so too did the U.S. president influence the Iranian election. Interesting the way that works, isn't it? Story goes on. Iran has refused to comply with international demands that it suspend uranium enrichment. It has also condemned as invalid and illegal a U.N. Security Council resolution passed last month that imposes sanctions against the Islamic Republic for refusing to halt enrichment. Said Ahmadinejad on state TV, quote, enemies have assumed that they can prevent the progress of the Iranian nation through psychological war and issuing resolutions, but they will be defeated. So nice, flowery, patriotic language. But again, didn't we see the same sort of, you know, rah, rah, rah here in America after September 11th? You remember all the commercials? All the magazines were putting American flags on the cover just in the corner, and then everybody had the little flags everywhere. And hey, you know, proudly display the flag if you want. That's fine. But don't do it just because it's trendy to do so. Do it because you believe in it, because you believe in what it stands for. And that was something we saw after September 11th. Bush was saying, hey, don't be afraid. Not yet, anyway. Go out there. Take your family to Disney World. Spend some money. Fuel the economy. Because if you don't, the terrorists have won. Or as the president would say, the tourists have won. I didn't even know that the tourists were a danger. I thought they were good for the economy, too. Tourism is good. You go to various states, you spend money, you wear Hawaiian shirts, you look at maps and look like a doofus trying to figure out where you are or where you need to be. Oh, those are tourists, not tourists. My bad. Joking, of course. All right, couple more stories that I think you need to know. Maybe you've seen them, maybe you haven't. This one, January 17th, the Jerusalem Post. Voicing extreme concern over Russia's recent sale of advanced anti-aircraft missiles to Iran, senior diplomatic and defense officials warned Moscow on Tuesday that the deal could have serious security implications that would even, quote, get back to Russia, end quote. A veiled threat, perhaps? I don't know. Senior officials in Jerusalem said they were, quote, not pleased, end quote, with the sale of the anti-aircraft missiles, but that Russia was a sovereign country and they could not intervene. They did, however, issue a warning, quote, we hope they understand that this is a threat that could come back to them as well, end quote. So, again, veiled threat? I don't know. Earlier Tuesday, Russian Defense Minister Sergei Ivanov said Moscow had sent air defense missiles to Tehran, the first high-level confirmation that the delivery took place. Despite U.S. complaints, Ivanov did not specify how many missile systems had been delivered. According to Ivanov, quote, we have delivered short-range Tor M1 missiles to Iran in accordance with the contract, end quote. The Tor M1 is an advanced anti-aircraft system that can identify up to 48 targets and fire two targets simultaneously at altitudes of up to 6,000 meters. Defense officials predicted the systems would be used to defend Iran's nuclear facilities, particularly the Uranium Enrichment Center at Natanz. The officials said that while the missiles were advanced and quote-unquote highly capable, the Israeli Air Force was well-trained and knew how to deal with multiple and varied threats. Russian officials previously said Moscow would supply 29 of the sophisticated missile systems to Iran under a $700 million contract signed in December of 2005, according to Russian media reports. So again, you know, that's a lot of money. Said Ivanov without elaborating, quote, if the Iranian leadership has a desire to purchase more defensive weapons, we would do that, end quote. Now, the United States has called on all countries last year to stop all arms exports to Iran, as well as end all nuclear cooperation with it, to pressure Tehran to halt uranium enrichment. Foreign Ministry spokesman Mark Regev said Israel, quote, would be concerned at any arms sales to the extremist regime in Tehran, a regime that has already been sanctioned by the international community because of its ongoing and flagrant violations of the UN Security Council resolutions, end quote. Russian officials said the missiles were purely defensive with a limited range and argued that the Tor M1 deal involved conventional weapons and did not violate any international agreements. Russian media have reported previously that Moscow had conducted talks on selling even more powerful long-range S-300 air defense missiles to Tehran, but Russian officials have denied that. Moscow already has a $1 billion contract to build the Bashir nuclear power plant, Iran's first. So $1 billion here, $700 million there, it starts to add up, right? So the U.S. is obviously very upset, Israel very upset, because Russia is selling defensive weapons to Iran. Well, it's interesting that that would be brought up, because we've got a story here which came out on the 17th, okay? That's the exact same day of the story I just read to you. Israel's mad at Russia for selling defensive weapons to Iran. This one came out the 17th. Where did I find this? KFMB.com. And it says, fighter jet parts and other sensitive U.S. military gear seized from front companies for Iran and brokers for China have been placed, traced in criminal cases to a surprising source. Okay? Illegal weapon sales to Iran, illegal weapon sales to China through brokers and front companies have been traced to a surprising source. The Pentagon. In one case, federal investigators said contraband purchased in Defense Department surplus auctions was delivered to Iran, a country President Bush has branded part of an axis of evil. In that instance, a Pakistani arms broker convicted of exporting U.S. missile parts to Iran resumed business after his release from prison. He purchased a Chinook helicopter engine parts for Iran from a U.S. company that bought them in a Pentagon surplus sale. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents say those parts did not make it, or those parts did make it to Iran. So, the Pentagon, in essence, supplies brokers and arms dealers and whatnot, and then those arms dealers can sell them to our enemies. Exactly what was happening in Vietnam. But, of course, this way they can say it's a clerical error. Ah, so much paperwork. We didn't know. We didn't realize. Sensitive military surplus items are supposed to be demilitarized or demilled or rendered useless for military purposes, or if auctioned, sold only to buyers who promise to obey U.S. arms embargoes, export controls, and other laws. All right, we'll sell you this shoulder-fired rocket launcher, but you have to promise. You're on the honor system. Don't do that. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yet, it says, the surplus sales can operate like a supermarket for arms dealers. said the Defense Neutralization and Marketing Service on its website, calling itself the place to obtain original U.S. government surplus property. They say this, quote, right item, right time, right place, right price, every time. Best value solutions for America's warfighters. Oh, for America's warfighters. Interesting. So who are they trying to cater it to, right? Fighters of wars with America or fighters from America who engage in war? Because I thought they were already supplied with their own weaponry, right? So it's out there. It's out there in plain sight, and it's very attractive. And you could say, well, they're probably setting up sting operations, you know, to bust people who are doing this stuff. Yeah, if you want to believe it, that's so, that you're more than welcome to. But again, it said already that parts of these engine parts for helicopters, military helicopters, have made it to Iran. Presumably there's more, and there is. But anyway, folks, stay with us. We'll wrap up this story here when we come back with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Hi, this is Steve Shank with Fearless Radio and RBN, your only source for solutions to problems of troubled times. Do you realize that 3 years ago, the JMS Food Group warned people that there would come a time when if you didn't grow it yourself, or you already had it stored, you wouldn't dare eat it? Wait a minute. E. coli on our spinach and lettuce? That's our food you're talking about. You know where E. coli comes from? Feces, black water. In short, poop. We have to decide quickly to get all the food we're going to need. It's obvious that contamination can leave us hungry even before food shortages shut us down. For help ordering your food supply and protection from dishonest suppliers, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. On the phone, 800-409-5633.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all-natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered. And 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Paying
Well, welcome back. Tail end of our first hour already, my friends. You are listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. Back to the story from KFMB.com, January 17th this year, talking about basically the U.S., basically through the Pentagon, is in essence selling weaponry to Iran. Much like, again, what we discussed on the program Monday evening. It goes on. Federal investigators are increasingly anxious that Iran is within easy reach of a top priority on a shopping list, parts for the precious fleet of F-14 Tomcat fighter jets that the U.S. let Iran buy in the 1970s when it was an ally. In one case, convicted middlemen for Iran bought Tomcat parts from the Defense Department's surplus division. Customs agents confiscated them and returned them to the Pentagon, which sold them again with customs evidence tags still attached to another buyer, another broker for Iran, suspected broker for Iran. Said Greg Cutts of the Government Accountability Office's head of special investigations. He said, quote, that would be evidence of a significant breakdown, in my view, in controls and processes. It shouldn't happen the first time, let alone the second time. End quote. Obviously, it shouldn't happen the first or the second time, but this is exactly what's happening. A Defense Department official, Fred Bailey, said his agency followed all the proper procedures. The GAO, the investigative arm of Congress, found it alarmingly easy to acquire sensitive surplus. Last year, its agents bought $1.1 million worth, including rocket launchers, body armor, and surveillance antennas, by driving onto a base and posing as defense contractors. Said Cutts, quote, they even helped us load our van. End quote. Investigators used a faked ID to access a surplus website operated by a Pentagon contractor and bought even more, including a dozen microcircuits used for F-14 fighters. The undercover buyers received phone calls from the Defense Department asking why they had no social security number or credit history, but they deflected the questions by presenting a phony utility bill and claiming to be an identity theft victim. That worked on the Pentagon, or the Defense Department. Can you imagine that? Hey, this is the Defense Department calling. Why don't you have a social security number? Somebody stole my identity. Yeah, I feel your pain. I sympathize with you. That's okay. Go ahead and buy those missiles, those rocket launchers, the body armor. Go ahead. It's fine. Ah, we're all friends here. Among cases in which U.S. military technology made its way from surplus auctions to brokers for Iran, China, and others, the following. Item seized in December 2000 at a Bakersfield, California warehouse that belonged to Multicore, described by U.S. prosecutors as a front company for Iran. Among the weaponry acquired were fighter jet and missile components, including F-14 parts from the Pentagon surplus sales, custom agents said. The surplus purchases were returned after two Multicore officers were sentenced to prison for weapons export violations. In 2005, customs agents came upon the same surplus F-14 parts with the evidence labels still attached, while investigating a different company suspected of serving as an Iranian front. They seized the items again. They declined to provide details because the investigation is still underway. Arif Allah Durrani, a Pakistani convicted last year in California in the illegal export of weapons components to the UAE, Malaysia, and Belgium in 2004 and 2005, and sentenced to just over 12 years in prison. Customs investigators said the items included Chinook helicopter engine parts for Iran that he bought from a U.S. company that acquired them from a Pentagon surplus sale, and those parts made it to Iran via Malaysia. Durrani is appealing his conviction. An accomplice, former naval intelligence officer George Bundes, or Buddens, pleaded guilty, sentenced to a year in prison in July. Durrani's prison term is his second. He was convicted in 87 of illegally exporting U.S. missile parts to Iran. Par for the course, my friends. It just keeps on going. God, can't stop the war machine. Stay with us. We're back in just a minute.